This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Michael K. and Don LaGreca with you. We're apart, but we're together for the next 4 hours. The other 20, those are certainly your responsibility. It's not a fun time. For New York football fans, it's about as bad as it gets. I don't know how it could get any worse. The Giants were pathetic. The Jets were equally pathetic. The Giants didn't, I believe, they had a play in the red zone. They did not have a play in the red zone, I believe. And the Jets, Sam Darnold had one of those flashes of brilliance that I talk about that I want, Don, that, you know, just makes me believe. And, you know, he threw a great touchdown pass to Berrios. But then he has two pick sixes. Both quarterbacks have a problem with turnovers. Daniel Jones is turning the ball over at a record rate. I don't know how you could. I guess what I'm saying, Don, find me the win. Find me the win in this these teams' schedule.
I was going over it last night, and they're both best case scenarios: 3-13 football teams. Jets might get a win Thursday because there might actually be a team more banged up than them in Denver. So. Maybe they get a win Thursday, and then, you know, what could happen against Cleveland, one of the games against Miami. But, yeah, they could be staring at a 1-15, 2-14 type of season. And the Giants, the same thing. I didn't even look at the number yet, but I would think the Rams are double-digit favorites at home against the Giants, right?
Yeah, they perform well against the Bills, and, you know, I think they should be a double-digit favorite.
Well, because, you know, the Giants' defense, they hang on. In the first two games, they're able to hang on. But yesterday, not being able to get off the field, Holmes with a defensive holding penalty on 3rd and 22. That's coaching, man. That's just not being there. That's just a mental error you can't afford to have, not being able to get off the field. They were 9-for-14, the opposition, going into the game yesterday. In 3rd and long situations, 3rd and 5+, 6+. And it got even worse yesterday against the team that's as banged up as Denver and the Jets right now. And just steamrolled the Giants. All the confidence, all the good feels that we had through the first two losses, gone. I mean, really, just wiped away. Yep. That performance was as disgusting on all levels, defense, offense, coaching. It was just they were completely embarrassed in their own building by a team that's got as many injuries as anybody. You know, so forget the Giants 0-2 start, but some good things. That's gone. And we could talk until we're blue in the face today about the injuries, and the injuries are catastrophic for the Jets. Their backup guard was playing left tackle. They have no one to run the football. Berrios had a nice game. He's like a fourth wide receiver on an average football team. He's not your number one weapon. But still, can you find a way to be competitive, Michael? They've lost three games by an average of 20 points. That's not being competitive. They're not staying in games. It's embarrassing on both teams.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that they're this bad. And then, you know, I understand that football coaches have to speak about, you know, football stuff and football speak, so to speak. But, you know, Adam Gase, you know, we just got to get to work. Stop. You've worked enough. Well, why aren't there results now? Now, we knew, and I've been saying this at the beginning, even when healthy, the Jets didn't have enough skill position players for Sam Darnold. Now, they're into the sixth row of their depth chart, how bad they are. And as for the Giants are playing a team that was absolutely ravaged by injuries. 10 starters were out. 3 cornerbacks were out.
Yeah.
And they couldn't do anything. And you can't say it's because they lost Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley, as great as he is, didn't do anything the first two games. Anything. No production whatsoever. At least they had a good first half in the first game. At least they had a good second half in the second game. They didn't have a good anything in this game against a crippled team. So what do you hang your hat on? Daniel Jones has to take care of the ball. He can't. Sam Darnold, that, you know, and just reading everything I could about that game and watching it as well, that's about as bad a game as he's had in 3 years, Don. That's his worst game ever.
Well, what he's got to learn, and Jones has to be this way too, is you can't try to just win it yourself. As bad as things are around you, for both of these quarterbacks, as bad as the coaching might be, especially for the Jets, is that You can't blow your opportunities. You can't make those types of mistakes. Now, it's impossible to be perfect, but you saw the flash after the pick six, comes right back, has a 14-play drive, throws a touchdown pass, right? I mean, so you know it's in there for you. But when you get in the red zone, you can't try to force it. Now, I don't know if the receivers ran the wrong route. I mean, I would think he's working with a bunch of guys he's probably not that comfortable with. He probably doesn't have a lot of confidence in his offensive line. But big boy league, right? You got to do what you got to do. You just can't throw your hands up and just think that everything's normal and try to force passes in, because every mistake that you make is going to be magnified because you are getting zero help. But at some point in this league, in the whatever the sport is, you've got to take care of yourself and you got to take care of your business. And Darnold didn't do that yesterday.
Do you know that the Jets at 0-3, this is an amazing stat, have never held a lead in any of the three games?
Only team in football.
Not even a field goal, not even 3-0, right? Don, because usually the first play of their game is a disgrace.
Right.
It's unbelievable how inept they are. And then there's a report by Chris Mortensen pregame that Jet management is going to look closely at that game yesterday and then what they do on Thursday against the Broncos, and they'll evaluate Gase. To what end? So what? Are you going to have Greg Williams? By the way, the defense has been terrible too. You're going to have Greg Williams be your interim coach? Well, what exactly is that going to do for you by getting rid of Adam Gase? You're not going to save this season. And if anything, let him continue to be bad so you get the number one pick, so you either select Trevor Lawrence or you make a Herschel Walker-type trade for that number one pick. You bring in somebody, they get an artificial bump out of it, and they still finish, what, 5-11? And they're the third pick rather than the first. No, let Adam Gase continue to poison the water. He's not going to straighten things out. And by the way, to all the Jet fans, and even Joe Douglas that came on, that put a lot of import into 6-2. How's that 6-2 look right now? No, how much did that mean? It meant nothing last year, and it means even less now.
And I get the injuries. I get it. But teams find ways to be competitive, find ways to win games. I mean, think about the brutal situation San Francisco's in. With all the injuries they have to almost every skill position, every important position on the team, and they are playing two consecutive games in the same building on turf they hate during the week leading into the game, spent their time in West Virginia, all right? Didn't even go home. And not just win, but pulverize their opponent in both games.
And they made Nick Mullins, the Jets, and the Giants made Nick Mullins look like he was Joe Montana and Steve Young fused together. I mean, come on.
So that kind of tells you, Michael, that good coaching, and San Francisco's got very good coaching, means something in this league. So we could talk about the injuries, and they do exist, all right? But we're not asking the Jets to win games. We're just asking them to be competitive. You lose that game yesterday 34-30, we could say, oh, well, yeah, how do you expect them to win? They're on the road. Looks like the Colts are a pretty decent team. You've got injuries. What do you expect? But when you're non-competitive, completely blown out in the second half, haven't had a lead all year long, have lost not just double digits, but close to 20 points per game, that's coaching. That's bad. That's as bad as it's ever been. And it you just got to be disgusted. But getting to the point that we brought up in the soft open, as excited as Jet fans might be by Mort's report that Gase could be gone, what does that tell you about Jets management? How easily they swing the pendulum back and forth? They love Maccagnan, right? Maccagnan's going to handle their draft. Maccagnan's going to handle the millions of dollars that they have in free agency, right? And then out of nowhere, poof, oh, he had to go. Don, I talked to people with the Jets. Don, he had to go. Guy didn't know what he was, and there's lack of communication. It was bad. We had to let Maccagnan go. So you went from handle my franchise with a huge pick and millions of dollars in free agency to he had to go. Guy didn't know what he was doing. He had to go. And then you go and give the keys to the city to Gase. 2 weeks ago, your owner's saying he's a genius. He's an offensive genius. He's a savant. And now, 2 weeks later, we might have to let him go. It doesn't look like guys knows what he's doing. Michael, how do you blow in the breeze like that? Are you just trying to get information from other people? Do you have like no knowledge of football whatsoever that if the right person whispers in your ear, you do a 180? Now, I think Gase has to go. So that opinion might be collectively the right decision. But, Michael, 5 minutes ago, Maccagnan was the guy. And then Gase is the guy. Now he's not the guy. How do you do that as a franchise? How do you do 180s like every year? That's no way to run a business. That's no way to run a team.
If you look at what they've done over the last decade, they've done everything wrong. So when they got rid of Tannenbaum, and then they bring in Idzik, and they force Idzik to have his coach, and Idzik's breaking down the team, and then Rex is coaching a bad team. And, I mean, they let Idzik do everything, and then they fire him after 2 years, which is not enough time. And then with this, although it was meant at the time as a vote of confidence, what Christopher Johnson did by saying that Adam Gase has a brilliant offensive mind, he put all sorts of more pressure on the guy, because now we're looking for the brilliance and we're not seeing brilliance. He should have never said that, especially if he was wavering or could be that easily convinced that Adam Gase is not brilliant. He put all this pressure on the guy, made everybody look for the brilliance. We were all studying. Really, where's that brilliance? We don't see it. He's not brilliant in anything. He's not brilliant the way he speaks to the media. He's not brilliant the way he coaches. He's not brilliant the way the team prepares. And then the Jet players, I give him credit, though. He hasn't lost them. So Van Rotten comes out and says, comes out and says, it's not the coach. We're not executing. Sam Darnold, the same thing. You guys are wrong. We have all the right. Well, then you're all putting the onus on yourself that you stink. Is that what you want?
Right. And doesn't that, when all that support is thrown on the coach, right, and that it's on the players, and then I guess you have to shift the blame over to Joe Douglas, because a lot of those players are here because of him. So somebody has to be to blame here, and you just can't get rid of a 53-man roster. You're already trying to get rid of all the mistakes that supposedly Maccagnan made, and now even more mistakes are going to be made. And you're so right. It's from Tannenbaum. Now we go to Idzik. Idzik, rebuild this team. Oh, wait a minute. We're losing games. No, we can't rebuild. We're not going to go to Maccagnan so we can win right away. Now Maccagnan's got no idea what he's doing, lack of communication. Now we give it all to Gase. And now you're losing confidence in Gase. How many people are you going through? I mean, it's amazing to me. Who's making the decisions here? Like, it's almost like Isaiah Thomas whispering in Jim Dolan's ear, except it could just be whoever Chris Johnson answers the phone for, telling him, listen, he's got to go or he's got to stay. Can somebody within that organization have some conviction on the direction the franchise has to go in? As much as I didn't like the fact that Johnson had this glowing praise for Gase, at least it showed some conviction in the guy. And then it just easily swayed. How am I supposed to believe anything that he says? And so how can I believe that the right decision is going to be made after Gase is gone?
So what is it, Don? 11 years in a row they won't make the playoffs?
Yes.
That's mind-boggling. That's mind-boggling. In the NFL, that you can't run into a playoff appearance?
Three general managers, right?
And what's the Giants' run of ineptitude now? So they had the one McAdoo playoff run.
Right.
So the last time they were, before that was what?
When they won the Super Bowl in 2011. So they're on their way to a decade with only one playoff appearance and no playoff wins.
Have we ever seen a run of ineptitude by both of these teams like this?
Probably have to go back. You know, for the Giants, we talked about how bad it was in the mid-70s. Wasn't that great for the Jets either. But, yeah, you're probably, if we do the math, probably somewhere about 45 years ago.
Amazing. Just
when it
amazing.
Was a lot different back then, you know, because there wasn't like the same kind of free agency. You really had to depend on the draft. But you go through so many different people, even the Giants, Michael, right?
Yep.
Yeah, three coaches. Well, if you count Tom Coughlin, Tom Coughlin can't do it. The game has passed him by. We'll give it to McAdoo. Well, McAdoo can't do it, so we'll give it to Shermer. He's a quarterback whisperer. Shermer couldn't do it. Now we're going to do it to Joe Judge. It's only three games, so I don't want to judge him, no pun intended. But so far, he's 0-3, so he's going in the same direction as the other guys have. And also, two general managers in that span. And the Jets, it's the same thing. Less coaches, but more general managers. So it's not for lack of trying. You know, it always seems to be like, well, we made a mistake, let's bring in somebody else. But every hire seems to be worse than the next. Now, I think I want to give Joe Douglas more time. I want to give Joe Judge more time, right? But as far as Gase is concerned, as far as Gettleman is concerned, when does the platform get pulled out from underneath them?
Let's listen to Rex Ryan. He was on with Bart and Hahn, and you could hear Bart and Hahn from 11 to 1 every single Monday through Friday. So here was Rex saying that the Giants are right now at rock bottom.
This is about as bad as it gets if you're a New York Giant fan. I mean, they never punted. I'm trying to repeat myself again. They never punted, and they have a backup quarterback in there, a journeyman. Like, this is it was ridiculous.
Now he goes on to say that Jones is not improving.
What's keeping him from being a really good quarterback is you've got to protect the football. And unfortunately, it's just never gotten better with him. And that's something I was super high on him and still am. But at some point, if he's ever going to take the next step, he's got to learn how to protect the football.
Now let's let Rex have his say about the Jets. He said the Jets have no one to replace Gase.
The only thing is, who the hell are you going to replace him with? Because nobody on that staff's done a great job. So I don't know who you're going to replace the guy with. At the same time, it's never been in the Johnson's MO. They let that coach play out the string, and then they'll make a decision after the season. That's the way it's always played out. But these circumstances are a little different in the fact that I think the expectations were a little higher for this football team. And then it's just what you see. Are they passing the eyeball test? You better show your fight this week or their heads are going to roll.
But what heads are going to roll? As he said, who's replacing Gase? The defense has not been good. Greg Williams' defense last year was a bright spot for the team. It has not been good at all. So who are you replacing him with? Are you calling Rex to take him out of the ESPN booth?
No, you probably will have Greg Williams take over because he has been a head coach before, because you have to still function as a franchise. Even if you're trying to tank, you still have to function. And then just punt on the season, and then during the off year, try to bring in other people and hopefully work with Joe Douglas. Otherwise, he might be somebody that becomes collateral damage. And I didn't hear this, bro. I listened to the post-game show. They talked about it a little bit. Didn't hear it really anywhere else. Why in God's green earth, at 34-7, is Sam Darnold still in that game?
Why is he still playing? I think Greg said that it would be insulting to a quarterback to take him out.
So he's in the shadow of his goal line. He ends up taking a safety, but get him out. I mean, because don't you want to? You're playing nothing but backups at this point. You've got no clue what's going on in the football game. You're getting completely blown out.
Well,
who's
the backup? Mike White? I mean, yeah, it wouldn't be fair to him either. I'm Flacco's still in street clothes.
Yeah, but the thing is, at this point, if he is your franchise quarterback, do you really want him? God forbid, getting hurt in a 34-7 game, and he takes a safety in the end zone, like. What is their feeling right now about Sam? You know, like is the head coach, is it going to be me or him kind of scenario where Adam Gase is now going to basically be putting Sam in tough spots because he's going to try to say, hey, I don't have the quarterback.
You want to hear an outrageous take, Don? So on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, Keyshawn Johnson went on record as saying that both the Jets and the Giants can each go 0-16 this year. Here's Key.
It's just painful to watch the New York Jets play. I mean, do you think about it? They got a chance to maybe go 0-16.
Both, you're saying.
But I was going to get to the Giants on the other side.
Okay.
The other side may go 0-16, too. When you look at those teams, I was like, just watching both of them yesterday, the 49ers, they don't even have a 53 people they can put out on the field healthy. And you get that done to you? I mean, it's just like in their front line guys – or not even healthy. Like the top dudes that they had on the Super Bowl team last year are not even healthy. And they got that done to them in their own stadium with no fans. The Jets, Adam Gase should ask to be fired. He should just resign.
Well, that's not going to happen. Nobody does that. No football coach is ever going to do that and leave the money on the table
Lou Holtz did it. But.
Yeah, probably had something lined up in college. Who's giving Adam Gase a job?
No. But you know, the more I think about it, though, how winnable this game is Thursday for the Jets, because when do you ever see a Thursday night game where a team's got to travel that far? Usually the Thursday night games are always in the division or like we saw at Miami and Jacksonville where they play in the same state. Denver's all banged up. They're on a third-string quarterback, have to fly halfway across the country to play the Jets. Jets might win that game 6-3. So that might be the only thing that stops them from going 0-16. And the Giants have actually had the Washington football team's number. Despite how bad they've played in recent years, they actually have a couple of wins against Washington. So I don't think either team's going to go 0-16. But, you know, 1-15, 2-14 is on the table, Michael. They might have a collective four wins at the end of the year.
It's amazing. And then heads would have to roll. I mean, Gettleman might retire. I don't think Gase survives if they have that bad of a year. You know, Gase also said yesterday, you know, in the post game, well, maybe it's because, you know, we didn't have preseason games and the bodies aren't hardened yet or toughened. I can't take that excuse because the 31 other teams went through the same thing. So either he's just not good enough creatively to make this work or the team is that bad. Now, they do have injuries, but should they be this bad and that non-competitive? It was pathetic. It was pathetic. If you're a New York football fan, it is pathetic. I hope you'll enjoy the rest of football this year because you're not going to enjoy this.
Well, thank God it's a national sport, right? So there's still plenty to talk about around the league. But, Michael, I can't keep doing this every Monday. I mean, you're just repeating yourself. I mean, how much more creative can we get? I mean, I don't want to continue to do the same show every Monday and Friday for basically the next 14 weeks outside of the bye weeks. I mean, it's not fair to our audience.
I mean, I would agree.
You can't do it because it's the same conversation over and over again.
We really have to root for the Yankees to get to Game 7 in Arlington.
That's what we're looking at.
Yeah.
Because I don't know when hockey and basketball is going to start back up again when this is over. We've talked about that before.
It's at least January. At least.
Yeah, well, at least. So, yeah, this is it. And listen, I love football, and we're not going to completely ignore it because it is two local teams, but... You know, if these teams are destined to go 1-15, 2-14, we're doing a disservice to our audience if every Monday we're going to come on bashing Gase, bashing Judge, bashing the quarterbacks. Are the quarterbacks good enough? They're going to tell the story themselves. And the complete disinterest, Michael, they are so lucky. So lucky they're playing in front of an empty building. Who would go Thursday? Who in their right mind would go to Jets-Broncos Thursday night with the way that team is playing other than go there and completely eviscerate your team? That might be the only saving grace for Gase right now is that the Jets, they can ignore us. They can ignore the papers and the internet. They couldn't ignore an empty building or 30,000 people eviscerating their team. So they're at least dodging that bullet. And both of them, the Giants have won 12 games since the end of 2016. Only six of them have been at home.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Cole in Jackson. Cole.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
I have 2 points to make, one about the Jets and one about my football team. With the Jets, I almost feel like at this point, the upper management and ownership, they got to be forcing the players to, come out and support Gase like this. I mean, the stats clearly don't, you know, justify him being supported. And then also, I'm the fan of the Washington football team. Peter would appreciate this. Peter, I've never seen a quarterback look so good and so bad in the same game that I did with Haskins.
Excuse me?
What was that?
He's not here, or that's RJ playing games. But, well, I mean, you know, Rivera said today that there's going to be a point of no return that he's going to take Haskins out. He said because we've got enough people playing well enough to win football games, and Haskins has not been playing well enough to win football games. So that's going to be Peter is poisoning the airwaves here, Don. Why are we taking phone calls about the Washington team? I don't care.
Not sure.
I don't care either.
We got enough issues right now to deal with and to have to bring in another badly run football team to talk about. We already got too many. We got two balls in the air. We don't need a third.
Tessa in West Caldwell. Tessa, talk to us.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking my call. I'm happy I have my voice back because I definitely lost it yesterday from screaming. I really feel like I'm ready to bash my head against the wall. I bleed blue, but this goes all the way back to when they fired Tom Coughlin, they should have fired Reese. He did a terrible job. Why did you keep him on another year? Now you bring this dinosaur in, Gettleman, instead of going with somebody young and vibrant like Lewis Riddick. And it's like, this is a disaster. When is Evan Engram going to ever do what his potential, what everybody thought he was? He's a bust, and I'm sorry to say, he's done. I'm looking at all of these powerhouse tight ends just destroying D
defenses, and this is what Evan Engel is supposed to be. Like, I'm not trying to put it all on him, but I'm so sick of him when you get the spotlight not shining. Like, come on. Like, what is wrong with you? Then it's like, Joe Judge, I'm still giving him a shot. I'm still giving Daniel Jones a shot. Brand new system, brand new coaches. I'm still all in with them. But we're a disaster. Oh, my God. Dave Gettleman, he just has to go. I don't even know what to do, guys.
You know what they did, Tessa? They were obsessed. And Don nailed this at the time. They were obsessed with getting Eli another kick at the can.
Right.
And so they hired a veteran GM who had history with the Giants, who had built a Carolina team that went to the Super Bowl, but it was fired by them too, rather than go with somebody young and untested because they felt that was a sure thing. That's why they drafted a running back with the second pick. Everything was geared toward Eli. So Eli, who was such a gift and a blessing to the franchise, ended up at the end to be a curse, not through any doing of his own, because the Maras and the Tishes were obsessed with giving him another chance after he got benched by Ben McAdoo, and they wanted to do right by Eli, and they did wrong by the team.
And so many decisions. Gettleman, Barkley, the money they spent in 2016 in free agency defensively that put them in cap hell for how long, right?
Yep.
Because they wanted another kick at the can for Eli. They didn't get that other kick at the can other than the loss in Lambeau in 2016. It's only the one playoff appearance. And that's why they're in the situation they're in right now. Now, Gettleman's going to be gone. He's either going to be fired or retired, and then they'll bring in another general manager, probably promote from within so they can keep Judge. So it's difficult for Giant fans to accept the rebuild because it should have happened 5 years ago. But because it didn't happen, now you're paying the piper today. So hopefully the pain you're going through in 2020 will result in wins down the road. But it's a very difficult pill to swallow with all the losing they've done leading up to this, because it doesn't feel like a one-year rebuild. It feels like a five-year rebuild because it's been so long since this team has actually won. But it's all the mistakes that they made to try to win one more time. That old adage, right, Michael Branch Rickey? It's better to get rid of a player a year too early than a year too late. They should have rebuilt a year earlier than wait. And it's killing them right now. So we'll see if Judge is the right guy, but I have to believe Gettleman's gone.
And McAdoo probably saw the writing on the wall and felt that the right thing to do was to ease Eli out, and he did it so heavy-handedly that he ended up costing himself his job. He did it the wrong way. Geno Smith, that's the guy you're going to put in to stop Eli's streak. It had to be done better than that. Once you did it that way, then you kind of owed Eli, quote, a favor to make it right, and they tried to make it so right that they made it wrong.
Because it was fine, I think, to try to do what they did in 2016. Eli was 4 years younger, and they did go 11-5, right? So it worked. And this is a team that won Super Bowls at 10-6 and 9-7. So they didn't have to win a ton of games, just get there and make a run. But it didn't happen, and you're right. The embarrassment, the absolute embarrassment of playing Geno Smith over him made Mara feel so bad, he had to give Eli another shot. And it really set the franchise back to where you have it now in the dark ages. Hopefully they got it right. Still that awkwardness of having Gettleman there, eventually letting Gettleman go, and then a new general manager having to inherit the head coach, right? So you don't know.
That's what I was going to say, and that's what's going to happen with the Jets. If they fire Gase, they're going to have a GM who's going to be 3 years into a six-year deal. You're going to bring a new coach in. And you better commit to Joe Douglas and say he's moving forward because he's going to pick this coach now. You can't have Gettleman's replacement come in. Hopefully they'll do from within, Don. But if you bring in somebody from the outside, they might not want Joe Judge.
Right. They probably will promote from within. But here's the problem, Michael. It was easier to promote from within when it was a Corsi's underling and set them up for a couple of Super Bowls. Whoever they promote from within is a part of this dumpster fire.
Yep.
So if you go outside, you have to now hope. Now, part of the interview process is going to be, all right, if you want the Giants job, you're going to have to keep Joe Douglas. And that might scare a bunch of general managers off.
Here's Dan Orlovsky. He was on with Bart and Hahn today. And he said that Daniel Jones and Sam Darnold are struggling, not because of their talent. Listen to this.
I think both these guys are going to suffer from what's around them. You just pray and hope that these guys have absolute fortresses around their mind. When you play on a bad team that's getting coached poorly week after week and you're just getting beat up, you know what starts to happen? You start to think that you're the reason why. You start to think that, you know what? Maybe I'm not that good. And doubt becomes a very real enemy in the NFL for a young quarterback.
But what? How could you say the Giants are not well coached? I think that's unfair. I mean, Joe Judge has had 3 weeks here. To say the Jets are, you've got a greater body of work, right, and the fact that he failed in Miami as well. But to say that Daniel Jones isn't receiving first of all, he has a really good offensive coordinator in Jason Garrett. He's got a neophyte coach. You can't say the coach can't coach. I don't think that's fair to Joe Judge.
Well, let me give you my opinion off of that, all right? He's absolutely right about Darnold. You know, that's my opinion from last week. He's made his share of mistakes, but they're killing this kid. They just are. His confidence is probably shot. I can't wait to talk to him at 5:30 to just check at the tone of his voice, because he's the franchise, right? He's supposed to be, and he's probably dying from all these losses, and he's got nobody around him. I think with Jones, it's got to be tough to be in your second year and then going through your second system. Right? So you had Shurmur. That didn't work. Remember, Shurmur was brought here much the same reason Gase was brought to the Jets, to be a quarterback whisperer, because of what Shurmur was able to do at Case Keenum. So he comes here. He's whispering in the air. Obviously, it didn't work out. Shurmur's out of a job. And now another guy comes in with another system, and maybe it's just going to take a little while for Jones to adjust. So I don't know if bad coaching, but just having to make the adjustment in his second year to another system, to another coach, to another voice, that's probably going to show up on the field, right?
You would think so. Now, here's Keyshawn. Again, on his morning show, you can hear it from 6 to 9 every Monday through Friday. And he said that Darnold would look like a Hall of Famer if things were different around him.
The one job that you were brought here for was to teach the quarterback how to be a quarterback, because you were supposed to be this offensive genius, expert, innovator, Sean McVay type person. Like, if you took Sean McVay and dropped him in New York right now, Sam Darnold would look like he on his way to the Hall of Fame. That's my belief. Remember what he did with Jared Goff? Jared Goff was with Jeff Fisher.
Lost.
And it was like, oh my God, this dude can't play football.
Right, that's what they said.
Sean McVay came in and he did some unique things. He went to more of a college-style play calling, where he would have Jared Goff look to the sidelines. He would help him in situations. And then he eventually took the training wheels off. I haven't seen any adjustments whatsoever with Adam Gase in teaching Sam Darnold. Nothing.
Listen, I don't think Gase has done a great job. But Don and I had a long discussion about this on Friday. I don't think that Darnold's done a great job. There has to be enough, even Steve Young admitted, there has to be enough talent there to outplay the bad coaching at times.
We haven't seen it. But there's a lot going into that. Like, Peter's not here today to defend himself, but we have the mask text that we have during Sunday when we're all watching the games. And after one of the pick sixes, I think it was the second one, Peter's like, that has nothing to do with injuries and lack of talent. That's on Sam. That's a pedestrian opinion. And when I say that, I'm not insulting Peter. It's a pedestrian when I say it, when you say it. Because everybody blames the quarterback for every interception. There's a million other things that can go wrong that can cause that interception. Some of it is on the quarterback. But sometimes it's the wrong route that's run. Something broke down that we don't see because that's not what our trained eye is supposed to see. So it's just easy to always blame the quarterback for every mistake. Guys like Keyshawn, guys like Dan Orlovsky, guys that played offense, sometimes can see who's at fault. When they say, let's go to the film, sometimes television doesn't even show you. You got to go to the film to see who made the mistake. It's not always the quarterback. And now your confidence is shot. The play calling changes with the injuries. So you just can't look at the stats in every individual play and say, I don't see it. That's on Sam. There's a lot of times that it's not necessarily on Sam. And where are these two quarterbacks right now, confidence level? They're supposed to be growing, getting better, and everything's falling apart around them. That's a tough spot. I remember Eli, you probably don't, 2007, because I've just got the sick mind when it comes to the Giants. At home against the Minnesota Vikings, Eli threw two pick sixes in that game. Looked god-awful. That year, they went on to win the Super Bowl. There are things that go wrong. We blame the quarterback, but there's also other things that happen, Michael. And don't you think with the coaching as bad as it is, with the talent as bad as it is, with the injuries as bad as they are, that maybe it's not every mistake is on Sam Darnold?
There's no way that every mistake is on him, but I have to say that some of them are. All of these people that sing the praises of Sam and Daniel, they're talking like none of the blame is on them. This is Sam's third year. And as Steve Young, a Hall of Famer, said, you should be able to shine through bad coaching every now and then. He had that amazing touchdown to Berrios. That was a great play. That highlighted all the talent that we expect from him. But then he throws two pick sixes, and that's a great eraser. That's a great eraser for a great thing that you've done.
And now, on top of maybe the receiver ran the wrong route or something happened that is not Sam's fault, what could be Sam's fault, but it also applies to the coaching in the situation, is trying to do too much. You know, he's the franchise quarterback. He wants to win. And so what is he doing? This was always Eli's problem. I really believe a lot of the mistakes that Eli made back in the day was trying too damn hard, throwing the ball left-handed to get into the end zone. Like, don't feel like every play you've got to carry the entire franchise. Sometimes it's better to take the step back, take the sack, throw the ball out of the end zone. Yeah, it's not getting the touchdown, but stop trying to be a hero. And that would be on him. But that's something that comes with, I'm in my third year, I'm supposed to be better, I'm supposed to carry this team, and throwing an ill-advised ball into the end zone that's got no shot of being completed.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael K. Show.
Darnold looks right, throws right, it's intercepted. TJ Carey gets to the five. It's another pick six for the Colts.
Jones with pressure throws, and it's intercepted. Fred Warner has.
They got a chance to maybe go 0-16.
Both your say,
Adam, is this embarrassing?
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to go out there and put your ass kicked.
I think about toughness and how you respond to things. Obviously, we have some adversity right now we have to respond to.
This is about as bad as it gets.
The ineptitude is amazing. And I mean extended ineptitude.
This is the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years.
I got to tell you, just now.
What happened?
The Yankees are having their press conference for the postseason.
Yeah.
Terrible decision.
Well, you want to hear from Aaron Boone. We'll hear what he has to say. There are times that you're sitting on a Sunday, right? And you almost say to yourself, I can't believe that I didn't bet this game for money.
Right.
And the game that hit me like that, Don, was the Sunday night game. You're getting Aaron Rodgers with points against a team that has struggled. And one of the big advantages they have playing in New Orleans is a deafening crowd. That wasn't the case last night. It was like somebody said, "Here, take this," and nobody took it.
But you would have been sweating a little bit, though. If you watched that game, they were back and forth. But you're right; the hook made you feel comfortable because the way things were going, the Saints were going to have to go up by a touchdown, and it looked like neither defense was stopping anybody. So, but you would have sweated it out. But looking back at it, you're right; that hook just made it very enticing. Good job out of you and Peter. Did Peter have it as his 3-point pick? I know you had it as your two.
I had it my two, and my three was the Bills, which was a real sweater.
That was not a pass interference.
Oh, stop yourself. You're so jealous.
Jealous
of
what?
So you had one pick out of two, and who do you have tonight? You and Peter have KC, right?
Yes.
Now, Peter had another bad weekend, so he's 1-for-2. I think the one he lost was his 3-pointer. So we definitely have to come up with the stakes for the bet this year.
Yeah, we got to get more interest going here.
Because it's going to be Peter, so we could sit here and decide what he has to do because he's just dreadful.
Well, eating seems to be attractive to people. The Whopper got amazing numbers, I would assume, just based off his Instagram videos. For the people that weren't watching on Yes, that the Crickets probably did very well. So we got to. That seems to be the direction to go, right?
I would think so. How about if I dye my hair like blonde?
Come on, then you'll look gorgeous as a blonde. You'll continue to dye your hair blonde, and you'll make it work for you.
How about if I dye my hair red?
You're not going to do that. You're not going to do that.
Well, yeah, because I'm not going to lose, but if I lose, I would.
No. Don't be that way.
Why?
You're going to dye your hair red. And we're not talking about, you know...
No, we're talking Joker
Andy
red.
Andy Dalton red. We're talking about Bozo the Clown.
Yes.
You're not going to do that. Why do you even tease us with that?
Because I would do it.
Because this would be after the Super Bowl, which would be in February, just weeks from spring training. Flip is really going to like Bozo calling Yankee preseason games. Not going to happen.
I don't have to keep it red my whole life. I could keep it red for a week.
No, but I think the bet would be you'd have to grow it out.
No,
you don't keep it red for the day and then you dye it back. What the heck is that? No, you would have to grow it out.
We'll come up with something. Some of the other games of interest. The Bills are good. And it also does burnish the reputation of Dan Orlovsky, who for a long time was saying Josh Allen is the goods. He had a really good game. Threw the touchdown pass that won it for them. They were ahead 28-3.
Yeah.
Which was the Super Bowl score. And the Rams came back. Rams are good. That is a great coach. And by the way, that's why the Jets hired Adam Gase. Because they wanted their own Sean McVay. The only problem was they didn't get Sean McVay. They got Adam Gase. And they wanted their own Cliff Kingsbury.
No.
But they didn't get Cliff Kingsbury. They got Adam Gase. Well, they wanted their own boy wonder.
I know. That's what everybody's looking for, right?
But they didn't get him.
That doesn't seem to be that way. But I will say this about the Bills before we all get crazy. All right? They let the Jets hang around. All right? They let the Dolphins hang around, and then you blow a 28-3 lead where it took at least a questionable pass interference. Otherwise, they lose that game. We're having a completely different feel because, you know, that was a huge break. Now, give them credit. They fell behind 4 points. They came up with the drive, and they got the touchdown. Just because of the pass interference doesn't mean they have to go and score the touchdown with 15 seconds left. So I give them credit for that. But if you look, they're 3-0, Michael, but they let teams hang around, and that's what happened to them in the playoffs last year too. They've got to learn to put teams away. There's still a lot of mistakes in Josh Allen, which you can live with because he's still a young guy. But, hey, what did that organization do? They went out and got Diggs. And now they're starting. Now they look like Kelly's the quarterback of the team instead of Ryan Fitzpatrick. They've got stuff going on right now. But that's one thing that I would say is that good teams don't blow 28-3 leads at home and feel good about themselves. So they've got some work to do before I'm ready to say that that's a team that's going to make an extended run.
3-0 for the second straight season. New England, a punished Las Vegas. I thought that was a good bet, too. I should have bet that instead of the dumb Falcons. I'll never touch the Falcons again.
But New
England, 36-20 over Las Vegas. And New England's playing very, very well. Burkett had a really good game. And they just continue to do what they have to do. I think I was the only one that thought New England was going to be decent this year. I will never bet against Bill Belichick until he proves I should bet against him.
I understand that, Michael, but a lot of credit has to go to Cam Newton. I'm with you. I think people that thought they were going to be tanking or be the worst team in the league, that was ridiculous. Bill Belichick's too good. But I really thought that their days of winning the division guaranteed making the playoffs were over. And we'll have to wait and see how that goes because Buffalo may have a say on whether they win the division or not. But Cam Newton looks good. And watching, you flip it around so you can't watch every game fully. But they could just do so much with him.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nightmare for defenses. They can roll him out. He can run. You can use his legs. He's got so much happening right now. And their defense is good. It was one of the best defenses in the league last year. So if Cam's Cam, the Patriots are going to be very dangerous week to week.
Cleveland with a winning record, I think, for the first time in 5 years, beats Washington 34-20, Pittsburgh 28-21 over Houston. And you wonder how long Bill O'Brien's going to keep his job. We told you about San Francisco all over the Giants. And then Cincinnati and Philly, 23-23. I don't get it sometimes. You try to be friends with somebody, Don. And I sent Andrew a beautiful text. I said, I'm thinking about getting you a tie for Christmas. And he didn't even respond. And that's hurtful to me. It really is.
Well, it was hurtful of you.
It's not fair.
You know how he lives and dies with his team. You don't get it. All right? Because you're people don't know the story. I think it was 1977.
No, you're wrong. 1981.
All right, well, I got the years wrong, but it was still the same team they beat, and it was still the World Series. All right? Ball ends up in whoever's glove it was.
Ken Landro.
Whatever. Game's over, and they win the World Series, and you're like, all right, what's in it for me?
Ken Landro thing was, that's the end of my childhood, when they lost the 81 series. But, yeah, in 77, after all those years of being a fan and they won, I go, well, now what do I get out of
that? So I was right. I was right all along.
Right.
See, I know you.
Yeah.
77, what do I get? You know, am I going to get a share of the World Series bonus? I mean, that you really looked at it as kind of, like, it's really like humbling to your fandom. It's like, what exactly is in it for me? And since then, you've really not been the same fan. So we're talking about 40 years ago that you felt this way, more than that, 43 years ago. But Andrew's still living that childlike.
He has no right to cry about it.
Hey, do I think that you would think that after winning a Super Bowl, the first Super Bowl for the Philadelphia Eagles, that would at least buy you a few years? But he was just devastated, and you knew he'd be devastated, and yet you still sent that text. So you're
no, because I've
up.
Had it.
I'm trying to be a friendly.
You're not. You're trying to be a bad guy, and you succeeded with flying colors. But that's a bad football team, period. I mean, I watched a lot of that game because that was my three-point play, because I thought Cincinnati going to Philadelphia, that eventually the Eagles would be able to right the ship, and Wentz just looks lost. And we could talk, I mean, we're talking about the same with Sam Darnold, like how much is his fault, how much is the offensive line being banged up. But for a guy that's, you know, an MVP-caliber quarterback, Michael, he's missing wide-open receivers. I thought I had the game won. You know, it was tied, wide open receiver down the sidelines. I text Andrew after this. We were talking about it. It's like a 60-yard touchdown pass. Yeah, overthrew him by 10 yards. He just seems like a shot quarterback right now. Defensively, they're just making brutal mistakes. That is just a bad football team in what, honestly, Michael, is a bad division. Giants 0-3, Eagles 0-2-1. Cowboys should easily be 0-3. They're 1-2. Washington's 1-2. That's just a bad division right now. Cowboys are clearly the best team in the division, but still, nobody's got a winning record.
Tennessee beat Minnesota 31-30. I think Gostkowski had 6 field goals, so he certainly had bounced back. Chicago,
Minnesota stinks.
They do. Chicago beat changed quarterbacks, went to Nick Foles after the first half. They're the worst 3-0 team, I think, in football. And Atlanta should be embarrassed. I don't know how you keep. What is that record you told me before the game? Is the first team ever to blow 2 leads of 16 points in a season?
Two leads of 16 points or more in the fourth quarter. To do it twice since like 1970, since the merger. In one season, they did it in back-to-back weeks. And Nagy announced today that Foles is the starting quarterback going forward.
Indianapolis beat up on the Jets. Carolina beats the Chargers 21-16. Tampa Bay beats Denver 28-10. Denver's next up for the Jets. Detroit finally gets a win. This is one you had as a loss, right, Don? Detroit 26, Arizona 23.
No, that was a Peter loss. The only game I lost was the Philly game. I won with Tampa Bay. That was my win, and then I've got my two-pointer going tonight with Kansas City. Peter lost that game.
5 more touchdown passes for Russell Wilson. It's amazing. 38-31. And I believe that Dak had like 470 yards passing.
Oh, he was terrific.
He really was.
I got to tell you, the Cowboys know how to put on a show. I mean, the two best games easily this year have been the 2 4 o'clocks. Cowboys-Rams last week. Cowboys-Seahawks this week. Great back and forth. But Russell Wilson is just absolutely spectacular.
Mr. Unlimited.
I mean, he's awkward socially, but he's really special. Because that whole defense, it's over. Like, you could score on the Seahawks now. So they're doing this offensively, and they're doing it behind him. This shouldn't be as good a team as they are. They're doing it because of him. He's special.
And finally, we talked about it a little bit, Green Bay 37, New Orleans 30. So I thought that Drew Brees looked better. Certainly was able to pass the ball downfield, but Green Bay was taking that away. And, boy, nobody does the ball fake on a handoff like Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you see the defense shift. They think it's a run, and then he has a wide-open 18-yard gain to his tight end. That's a good team, good offense, and that was an interesting week, and it ends tonight with, I think, the best Monday night game we've had in a long time.
Yeah, this is a great game. This is a Sunday night game. Right? Yeah. Right? These are I think the two best teams in the AFC. And it should be just an incredible game. It should be. Two of the best quarterbacks in football playing each other. Very attractive.
All right, so let's talk a little baseball. The Yankees are the streakiest Yankee team I've ever seen. So they started the season 16-6. We're talking about Yankees, Dodgers, two best teams in baseball, not even close. Then they go 5-15 over the next 20. You go, wow, this is not good. But because they'd gotten off to such a great start, they were able to absorb it. Then they go 10-0 after the 5-15. And then, Don, they finish up the season 2-6. They look terrible this week. I mean, just terrible.
Wow.
And they ended up with the 5 spot when they could have had the 4 spot and had home field advantage. And if they had played well over the last 8 games, maybe put a little bit of a scare into Tampa Bay, who finished first. But instead, the only reason that they got the 5th spot, not the 8th spot, is because Toronto lost to Baltimore. If Toronto beats Baltimore, boom, they're the 5th position. The Yankees are the 8th position, and they're in St. Pete getting ready to start that series against the Rays. So I don't know what to expect. I will tell you this. Aaron Boone just announced that Higashioka is, in fact, going to catch Gerrit Cole. So it's going to be Gerrit Cole against Shane Bieber. And I think the team that loses that game is going to be crippled emotionally.
Yeah.
Because Bieber has been great. He has not allowed more than 3 runs in any of his 12 starts. He's the easy Cy Young Award winner. He got the pitching triple crown, wins, ERA, and strikeouts. He's great. He's great. Gerrit Cole was brought here for this reason. Now, if the Yankees lose tomorrow, I think they're best equipped to absorb it, although they still be buckled at the knees because they have a great big game pitcher in Tanaka pitching game 2. The Indians have Carlos Carrasco, who's had a really good year, but he's not Tanaka when it comes to big games. So I think it's an interesting series. And I said over and over, the one sneaky team that you don't want to draw in this best of 3 is the Indians, because the Indians' starting pitching is really good.
Yeah, it is. They can't hit, but they're hoping it's not going to matter because their pitching is so good that it's going to be a close game anyway, like most playoff games are. It should be a lot of fun, right? You know, just... You just hope the midges aren't a problem in Cleveland, like they were last time these two teams played.
It is amazing, though, Don. You just like offhandedly say they can't hit. They really can't hit.
No,
even Francisco Lindor's had a bad year. Jose Ramirez has been an MVP type of player. He's carried them. And everybody talks about how bad Gary Sanchez is. So I think he finished at like maybe something like 145, the lowest average of any player in the history of baseball with 10 home runs or more. But the Indians have 3 catchers. Perez, Hedges, and Leon combined hit 125. Man. They are essentially a National League pitcher hitting, but they're great catchers. They have 0 pass balls, and I think they have the lowest ERA plus of any team in the last 100 years. That's how good their pitching has been. So, you know, what the Yankees have to do tomorrow, take pitches, work the count against Bieber, get him out of there in the 6th inning. That's their best chance. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and then you expect that Gerrit Cole can shut this team down.
And that's what he was paid. This is what it is, right? This is why he was brought here, for this particular moment. And this and he will be worth every penny if you go out there and you get the win in game 1 and you win this series and get it set up where he can be a major part of the divisional round and go forward. He was brought here for the postseason. Must be something in the water in Ohio, because the other worst offensive team in baseball, Cincinnati, which makes no sense in that building, and yet they still made the playoffs. Because their pitching has been terrific. So the pitching has really been the key for a lot of these teams. But I said this to you off the air, Michael, and I know you disagree because they don't want to go up. They don't want their postseason to go up against football on the weekend. There would have been a lot of intriguing stories if they ended the season on a Wednesday instead of a Sunday, Major League Baseball. I mean, because there was. Do you realize if the Mets swept the Nationals, they'd be in the playoffs?
Yeah.
If the Phillies won yesterday,
the
Cardinals would be in Detroit right now trying to finish up their season to keep Philly out there. I mean, the Giants were down 5-1, made it 5-4. They lost to the Padres. Otherwise, they would have been in. That put the Brewers in. And nobody saw it because everybody was watching football.
The Brewers,
Michael, you have all these games start at 3 o'clock, so all these games could be intriguing. You should do it on a day where people are going to pay attention.
The Brewers and the Astros have made the playoffs with an under .500 record. So you knew that was going to happen in the season. And I got to give credit to Major League Baseball. A lot of doomsayers out there say they'd never finish the 60-game season. They did with I think, a little less interruption than everybody thought. And the teams that got interrupted, Don, the Marlins made it. Mm-hmm. The Cardinals got interrupted for the longest time. They made it. So the interruption didn't seem like it killed the teams that got interrupted with the positive test. And I got to tell you what. Miami's scrappy. They've got some athletes, and they play small ball. They don't play today's baseball. So it was kind of intriguing to watch them, and Mattingly should be the manager of the year.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be an interesting 3 days in baseball. It could be four, because the American League starts tomorrow, and the National League starts on Wednesday. And by the way, we are the home of the Major League Baseball playoffs. You can hear Yankee games right here on 98.7 ESPN. So once our show finishes tomorrow, we'll throw it right back to Cleveland, and you'll have the play-by-play right there. I think that that's going to be the A-team of Vasgersian and A-Rod and Buster, and I think Morley Rivera is going to be involved as well.
It's hard to say they'll make it out of the National League because I think the Dodgers are just better than everybody, but don't sleep on that Padre team. That's a good team. Now, they lost Clevinger. That's a devastating loss for sure.
And they had a bad fit last week. Couple of weeks.
But, you know, they didn't need those games against the Giants and still beat the Giants, single-handedly keeping them out of the playoffs. Rosenthal is back, so they've got themselves a closer. They can flat-out hit. Profar and Machado and Myers, that's a good team. I think they'll beat the Cardinals. I just don't think anybody's going to beat the Dodgers in the National League. Maybe the Cubs or the Braves have a shot, but I think the Padres could be very, very dangerous.
Now, the Blue Jays are the eighth seed, so they're going to face Tampa Bay. And instead of starting Hyunjin Ryu in Game 1, they're starting him in Game 2, and they're going to start Shoemaker in Game 1, which is essentially an opener. So it's kind of weird, and it certainly sets up Charlie Montoyo for a lot of second-guessing. So he's saving his best pitcher, his stud, for the second game. But the Yankees are pitching Cole, and the Indians are pitching Bieber. And I think in a best of three, you can't plan for the eventuality of losing game one. You have to want to win game one, and then you take control of the series. So you start your best pitcher. And the Yankees are facing the one team, I think, that has somebody that can match Cole in terms of greatness. So,
yes.
I mean, a lot of things had to happen for the Indians to get the fourth seed. Yankees, I think, probably would have preferred to play the White Sox. You know, it's their first rodeo, so they'll probably be all nervous and not know what the playoffs are about. I think they'd probably also rather face the Twins because they've had great success against the Twins. The Indians, with those three starting pitchers, it's going to be a challenge. It's not going to be a layup. I'm telling you that.
Now, you said this a lot, that when the Yankees are healthy, you believe they're as good as anyone.
Right.
Now, over the last eight games, they were healthy. Stanton back, Judge back. Do you still feel that way? Did the last week scare you off of that opinion, or do you still have it?
I still believe that. I'm glad you brought it up. I should have articulated when they're healthy and they're playing like they should. Because essentially, Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton, they're not ready. I mean, they chose to get them ready in the big leagues rather than have them play inter-squad games in Scranton. And you could see their swings just not right yet, so that's a little bit of a concern. I'm concerned about the defense of Gleyber Torres. And I think that what happened over the last week, other than the losses, Don, the Yankees have a really tough decision to make tomorrow. Brett Gardner hit about 390 over the last week.
Yeah.
And Clint Frazier struggled. And that high wall in left field at Progressive Field is a little bit of a bear, although Frazier has gotten a lot better out there. You know that Gardner's been there, done that, and is the only Yankee that was on their last championship team. That's going to be a tough call for the Yankees because Frazier has earned the right to play in the playoffs, but against a tough right-handed pitcher, I don't know, maybe you go with Gardner. I can't wait to see their lineup tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Doc Rivers has released a statement. Thank you, Clipper Nation, for allowing me to be your coach and for all your support in helping make this a winning franchise. When I took this job, my goals were to make this a winning basketball program, a free agent destination, and bring a championship to this organization. While I was able to accomplish most of my goals, I won't be able to see them all through. Though it was a disappointing ending to our season, you're right there, and I know what the team is capable of accomplishing with your support. Thank you to all the players, coaches, and staff for helping us get there. Most importantly, thank you to the fans. We went through a lot. I am grateful for my time here. So will Doc Rivers get a job coaching? Rockets' job is open. Well, I mean, this year, this coming season. Or will he go into broadcasting and wait for something? A couple of people on Twitter, a couple of people cover the NBA, said that if he's physically capable, the Clippers should call up Phil Jackson. And I don't know. Phil might be past his...
I don't think he's physically able, because when they talked about it with the Knicks, or when it was talked about even at the end with the Lakers, of like not doing the road trips and all that, that's not going to help a team trying to win a championship.
Let's go back to the phones. What do you say, Don?
Yes.
Let's go to the 98.7 T-Mobile listener line, where sports fans get the spotlight. Got to go to Ira in Staten Island following Sam. Ira, what do you think?
Hey, Michael, what's happening? Happy New Year to everybody out there. And, you know, it's really amazing. It's Sam in his third year. And, you know, I think he's trying to take the high road. He's not going to throw anybody under the bus. I give him credit for taking most of the responsibility and putting it on the players. But when you we're watching the game. We have a set of eyes. And then, you want to break it into a third. I look at it as it's on – a third of it is on the coaching. A third of it is on the talent around him. And a third of it is on him not developing. And, you know, it's – he got caught up in a bad situation here. Because now you got a general manager that's in here that they got a situation at the end of this year – okay, if Sam, you have to pay him because you have to pick up the fifth year option. If not, then you just let him play out his year next year. You could lose him, or you could use a franchise tag the following year. How do you invest money in a guy that you might not have an answer at the end of the year? And Gase's fate is sealed. I think they're winning Thursday, regardless of what happens. I just don't see them losing to the Broncos. Broncos don't have a professional quarterback. It's almost
but they're
like
favorite. Broncos are favorite.
I have no idea how they're favored. They don't have a professional quarterback. The Jets will win this game 13-6 or something. But after that, you know the rest of the schedule. And I feel bad for Sam because he's a good guy. I think there's untapped ability there. But I think he's going to end up. I think he's going to end up playing for the Raiders, or he's going to end up playing for the 49ers. Because I think he's going to end up getting traded. Because if we end up with the number one pick, there's no way in the world Douglas is not taking Trevor Lawrence. And I think it's sad, but I think Sam's going to end up starting his career somewhere else.
Well, but I would believe though, Ira, no matter what happens, they have to pick up the fifth year option. This way, at least he's tradable.
Well, but you don't want to have happen what happened in Miami, where you lose the coach and the quarterback, right? Because he didn't make Tannehill any better. Then Tannehill goes to Tennessee, and now you're starting to see signs that maybe he's a playoff quarterback. It's like, do you want the smoke to clear and Sam's gone and Gase is gone? And then, yeah, that's great if you got Trevor Lawrence, but what if that win against Denver and a couple of wins here or there cost you the first overall pick, and now you don't have the quarterback? You're just chasing your tail, aren't you?
I would think so. Woj is reporting that Ty Lue and Jeff Van Gundy are among the top candidates to replace Doc Rivers. So we'll be following that. Michael in Virginia. Michael.
Hello.
Hello, Mike.
How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Before I get to my question, I just wanted to say I admired your work covering the Yankees for many of years. The way you do it is just class.
Thank you.
And to my question is, and I thought it was kind of a tricky one, with the Yankees having so many injuries this year and guys coming up and down, who do you think from the alternate site or a rookie is going to make a big impact in the playoffs for the Yankees?
Well, I think the guy, I mean, I can't really look and say that, you know, Clint Frazier was from the alternate site. I mean, because he would have started the season with the team. The only one I think that could have an impact is going to be Davey Garcia. Davey Garcia is going to have to start big games for them. I don't know if he's going to start game three, but if they get to a second round, he's going to have to start games. So he's going to be vastly important. I think he's going to be more important than a guy like Clark Schmidt or Michael King. So I think Davey Garcia is the answer to that.
So it would probably be happen game three?
I think so, although I don't know if it's set in stone. But there's no way that game three has less pressure on it. Don't you want a guy who's pitched in a World Series rather than a 21-year-old?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And also the problem with the Indians isn't that they're going to score a lot on you. You have to score on them.
Mm-hmm.
The Indians have a terrible offense. So if you can score on them and, you know, your pitchers hold them to three runs, you should be able to win. They should be able to hold them to two runs. They don't score. If you shut down Jose Ramirez, I mean, who's their threat? I mean, I'd always be fearful of Francisco Lindor because he's such a great player who's had a bad year, but I haven't seen it yet. I don't know why he's not having a great season. Now, it's a 60-game season, so he'd still have 102 games left to straighten himself out. It's hard to really put your finger on it.
Right, that's the scary thing about a 60-game schedule, right? Are they ready to pop offensively? You know, or I don't think they're ever going to be a great offensive team, but was it just a tough 60 games and now they're going to get hot?
Well, they actually played very well the last 10 days. I think they finished 8-2.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they got to the fourth seed in the AL, and they're playing the Yankees, who's the fifth seed. So, and that will be in Progressive Field. It was raining today. Yankees got in 45 minutes of their workout. Then the skies opened up, but the weather's supposed to be good the next 2 days. And again, you can hear the game, Yankees-Indians game one, right here on 98.7 ESPN. So make sure to keep the radio dial right where it is, and you'll hear Yankees and the Indians.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.